We ready for God's word this morning?
Amen.
Okay, better. Thank you. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 12, please. John chapter 12, and I really pray that we would have ears to hear this morning and eyes to see, and I believe we will. This is a very unique message on Thanksgiving because this has, quite frankly, been a quite unique year, hasn't it? It's been a very difficult year for all of us on many different levels. Can I hear a witness in the house?
Amen.
Amen. Very difficult. Some people have lost their jobs. Some people have been furloughed. Some people have lost their lives throughout this year. It's just unbelievable the way things have shaken down the way they have. In fact, I was reading an article, and the author of that article quoted a columnist, and see if this isn't true, of 2020. And he said that the columnist wrote that 2020 began the same way that 1974 did, with an impeachment crisis. Remember Nixon in 74? And then it quickly turned to 1918, a pandemic. And then it turned into 1929, an economic crash. And then it turned into 1968, social unrest on a large scale. It's been a rough year, right? And so now that we have the scripture, I pray you found it, John chapter 12. I want to see a story here that will maybe help us launch into this message. In John chapter 12, beginning with verse 27, Jesus here is pleading to the Lord, talking to the Father. He says, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour." Notice what he says in verse 28. "Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Verse 30, Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come because of me, but for whose sake?
Your sake."
Now, isn't that interesting? The voice of the Father came for the people's sake, but how did the people interpret the voice of the Father? There was one group, and then there was a second group. The first group interpreted it as what?
Thunder.
The second group interpreted it as maybe the voice of an angel. Isn't that interesting that the Father, God can be speaking, and people not hear what the Father is saying? And what does the Father desire to do? He is desiring to bring glory to himself, right? Isn't that what Jesus said? "My desire, Father, is to bring glory to your name." And God's response was, "I have glorified it, and I will again glorify it." Now, why am I saying that? I wonder how many of God's people choose to see the pandemic as just strictly a pandemic without the voice of the Father speaking to them. Interesting, huh? Or I wonder how many other people maybe put their own spiritual spin on the pandemic as maybe saying, well, maybe it's a judgment from God. God's finally, you know, going to spank the whole world because of how naughty and terrible they've been. But they miss out what the voice of the Father is for this day and hour. You know, I love the scripture in the Old Testament that says about the sons of Issachar that they were great men because they knew they discerned the days that they were living in. And I believe that as God's people, we need to discern the days that we're living in. Now, I've got to watch myself. I'm only going to talk about myself, okay, because I know myself better than I know all of you. And that is, if I allow myself, I can really get put out at the super, super strict restrictions and mitigations placed on us, you know. And this is my reasoning, and I'm not justifying it. I'm just saying, you know, the people, the founding fathers of our country founded this country on the basis that the people could reasonably govern themselves.
Amen.
That we don't need one person or one system of government to make our every decision for us as if we were kindergarten kids.
Amen.
But I've got to watch myself, because then I can go off balance and I can go off and get bent out of shape over that, which I'm not going to do, because that's not God's will for my life, quite frankly. Amen? And so, you know, I got to see, my point is, for me, as your pastor, I've got to see the pandemic for more than just a pandemic. Even as the people could not hear the voice of the Father, they could not see it as more than thunder, the sound of thunder. They were hung up on the sound rather than on the voice. And so I'm going to ask you this question this morning, church family. Are we hung up on the sounds of the pandemic, the noises of the pandemic, or are we leaning in to hear the voice of the Father? Go with me to John chapter 15, please, since we're in John. A couple chapters to the right. So far, so good, church family?
Yes.
Thank you. Interesting?
Yes,
thank you. You encourage me. For those of you two people who faithfully talk back to me, those of all y'all others, I'm assuming you're taking notes or wondering what you're going to have for lunch. whether you're going to fry your turkey or broil your turkey, or anyway, let's move on. John chapter 15, verse 1, Jesus again speaking here. He says, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean. Jump down with me, actually, to verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Notice, in those portions of verses, at least the ones that we read, Jesus talked about a four-step process regarding bearing fruit. I don't know if you saw it. And the whole premise of bearing fruit there, behind this fruit-bearing process, is pruning. Pruning. The Father is the vine dresser. Jesus is the vine. You and I, as his followers, are the branches, right? And he started with a believer that bears how much fruit? Zero. If you don't bear much fruit, he takes away. That word take away doesn't mean he removes a branch from the vine and burns it in hell, as has often been misinterpreted from this passage. It just means he prunes that branch so that it can go from no fruit to fruit.
Amen.
And then he says, those of you who bear fruit, I'm going to prune you so that you can bear more fruit. Step one, no fruit. Step two, fruit. Step three, more fruit. And then in verse 8, he says, it is the Father's will that you bear much fruit. Do you see it now? No fruit, fruit, more fruit, much fruit. And in between those stages is pruning, pruning, pruning. So we can conclude, as I've said before, that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and whether you're in stage 1, stage 2, stage 3, stage 4 of bearing fruit, you're pruned if you do, you're pruned if you don't. Right? Because if you're not bearing fruit, you're going to be pruned. If you're bearing fruit, you're going to be pruned. If you're bearing more fruit, you're going to be pruned. Right? And it finishes that passage by saying that my Father may be glorified. Who all here believes with me that in this pandemic, that the Father will not pass up an opportunity to bring glory to the name of his Son?
Amen.
Amen? We have to see that perspective, church family. We have to see that perspective. Go with me to Matthew chapter 3, please. Matthew 3, since we're in the Gospels, we're not even to the text that I want us to be at. I'm just, these are preliminaries, okay? Are the prelims good, Terry?
Amen.
Are they solid meat? I like that. I kid him. That's an inside joke because Terry's never been shy to speak his mind with me. Never. He shoots me straight. And one time, you know, he had me and Cynthia over at his place and he said, "You know, Pastor, I didn't know what to think of you at first." Remember that, Terry? You tell me if I'm stretching the truth. And he said, "I told myself, if this pastor can't serve up spiritual meat, I'm out of here." And then I asked you, remember, I said, "So how do you like the cooking?" He said, "Brother, it's as good as mine." Right, Terry? You're a physical cook and I'm a spiritual cook, right? All right, but I'm serving up the lamb chops and I'm serving up the steak and I'm serving up the filet mignon.
Give me a short order,
Thank you, sir. Whatever that means. Matthew chapter 3. Oh, Lord, who all likes having fun at church?
Amen.
It's getting hot in here. Verse 12, "His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Notice how the gospel describes Jesus. He has a winnowing fork in his hand. You know, we are farmers. You guys know a little bit of history of farming and the way you separated wheat from the chaff, also known, I was told many years ago, it's called form matter. Is that correct? That's that the particles that are not wheat, that they somehow end up in, and so they have to remove those, separate those from the wheat, was that a farmer took the winnowing fork, he went down to the threshing floor, and he had all this stuff here, and he would take a load and throw it up with this winnowing fork into the wind. The wind itself would separate the chaff, and the wheat would fall to the ground. Is that correct?
Yeah.
All these light form matter particles just blew away. And the real deal stayed behind. So I say that, church family, coupled with the pruning, could it be that the Lord is using this time? Because understand that we have to see beyond the pandemic, even as the people around Jesus could not see beyond the sound of thunder to hear the voice of the Father. We have to see beyond the pandemic to hear the voice of the Father. And I believe the voice of the Father to his people is simply this, and that is, he is pruning his church. Remember the process? He goes from no fruit to what?
Some fruit.
Some fruit to
more
fruit to
much
fruit. Thank you. And I said, "You're pruned if you do, and you're pruned if you don't." "But Pastor Joe, I've been living my life right before the Lord. Why is this happening to me?" Because you're still going to get pruned, baby. You don't get out. You don't have, God did not give you a get out of pruning jail card free. You're not going to pass go. You're not going to collect $200. You're going straight to pruning jail. Well, I shouldn't call it jail, but you're still going still straight to the pruning process. Can I get a witness in the house, church family? Am I right? You know, God's pruning his church and it's time. Can we, you and I, say to the Father that, "Lord, whatever this pandemic looks like, whatever it's shaking down to be, Lord, go ahead and prune me." Is that our prayer? Or are we like the grumblers? "Oh God, I'm tired of this, and I'm gonna write my legislatures, and I'm gonna do this." Or are we saying, "Lord, here's a white flag. It's affecting the whole world, but Lord, as for me and my house, I want to be pruned. Because if I'm pruned, you, Lord, will receive glory." Can I get a witness, please? All right, now let's go to the text that I want us all to go to. Hebrews chapter 12. So far, so good, everybody?
Yes.
All righty, verse 25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. Notice, who's the one speaking? Jesus or God, right? Because it's a capital H. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. Let me ask you a question. Were those disciples around Jesus basically refusing the Father's voice? They were just not tuned in. They could not hear. They could not discern the Father's voice beyond the thunder, the sound of thunder, right? So I'm going to ask us, will you and I, church family, commit to hear the Father's voice beyond the pandemic? Well, that was a rousing amen. I was waiting. I'm thinking, I can't wait too long. Got to land this plane pretty soon. I'm circling the airport now. All right, Brother Lau. I got to contact Command Tower that we're coming in here soon. Okay, so see that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. That's the title of my message, yet once more. Do you believe that we're in the shaking process, church family? I believe we're in a shaking process. I believe we're in a pruning process. I think anybody with spiritual discernment will see that this is a time when the Father is wanting to bring greater fruit from His church. But we have to discern that to be able to respond to the Father's will for our personal lives. Can I get a witness? Can I... I shouldn't even ask you, can I? I'm going to anyway. You know, back in the 80s, God pruned the church. And it started with televangelists. And I'm telling you, that process was not pretty. It was pretty ugly. Because before then, there was an innocence about any man of God who had a ministry. They believed that all their motives were pure. They believed that all the monies that were contributed to that ministry were going to the channels that they said they were going to. But the Lord said, not so fast. And the Lord began to shake the body of Christ from the top down. Y'all remember that?
Yes.
And it got ugly. The way the church responded was an embarrassment. Because people did not respond in love. People did not respond. You had televangelists cursing out other televangelists. I remember, I won't mention the name of this particular televangelist. He's gone on to be with the Lord. But he called another televangelist who had a moral fall. He called him a cancer in the body of Christ. I remember Ted Koppel saying, you guys preach love. You guys preach Jesus. And look at the way you're handling yourselves. Boy, did we fail that shaking, didn't we, church family? It was an embarrassment. And I'm telling you, I vividly remember, because it was only 2 years from 1988 to 1990 when I went into full-time ministry, that people were... They had an opposition to the church. They were antipathetic towards Christ. They were not sympathetic towards him. They did not want to hear about it. And I remember as a young 24-year-old pastor in full-time ministry, you know, anytime I preached the gospel to or tried to share Christ with people out in the community, they would just shut me down. I mean, it got so bad, and I've repented on this, okay? Like when I would go get my hair cut at like Supercuts, and the lady's cutting my hair, and she's saying, so what do you do for a living? I'm in life insurance. Well, I just failed to use the word eternal life insurance. I've repented, people, okay? And then I remember one time I worked up the boldness to say, well, you know, I am a pastor. Oh, man, that chick, it was a different chick, a different company. She got all worked up in a lather and she said, well, I'm not a hypocrite. I don't go to church. I'm not a hypocrite. I just drive my kids to the church. Wait a minute. You're not a hypocrite, so you don't go to church, but you'll drive your kids to church so that they can go. Who's the bigger hypocrite here?
No doubt.
Exactly. It was a horrible time, church family. I'm telling you, that was a dark, dark season in the body of Christ. Churches lost members in the droves. Their budgets almost crashed. It was a pruning, but you know, how many of y'all know that the Father was glorified?
Amen.
So I want to ask you, are we ready for the shaking? Now that we're in the full thrust of this pandemic, are we embracing the pruning, the shaking, the winnowing fork of the Lord? Let's look, keep reading here in Hebrews 12, please. So there's a shaking, there's a pruning, there's a separation happening. Verse 27, now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Are we ready for that, church family? Are we ready to lose stuff in our lives that can be shaken? Are we ready to lose complaining? Are we ready to lose copying bad attitudes? Are we ready to lose a sense of entitlement? Well, bless the Lord, I pay taxes. I expect more of my governmental leaders. I do too. And listen, I'm just going to tell you, just pray for me because I need to keep my attitude in check. Listen, it really chaps my hide when one person, one governmental leader decides that these are the restrictions, but they themselves don't even live by their own restrictions.
Amen.
You are a hypocrite. That's all I'm going to say about that, to quote Forrest Gump. Verse 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace. What does another translation say? Let us be thankful, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. How are we to worship God acceptably during this pandemic? Those three words, four words, let us be thankful. Are we thankful? Are we thankful during this pandemic that God has chosen to only shake the things that can be removed and not the things that cannot be removed? How many of y'all are thankful for family? I still have my family. I still have my daughters who love me. I still have my fiance who loves me. I'm thankful for that. Will you have friends, family over for Thanksgiving? Will you be around them? Who's thankful for that?
Amen.
Will you have a nice meal?
Amen.
Who's thankful for that?
Amen.
Who's thankful that you can pause and give God thanks on a national scale? A holiday that was served to pause and give God thanks on Thanksgiving Day, that we have that as a country. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I have a God who loves me enough to show me the truth and do away with stuff that needs to be removed in my life. Are we willing to embrace this pruning, church family? Are we willing to say, Lord, look at my life? Lord, wherever I fall down, you know, I love that prayer in Psalm 139 that says, Lord, test my way. See if there is any wicked way within me and lead me to the path of everlasting life.
Amen.
Amen? That's a part of it, church family. You know, maybe this holiday season will look completely different than it has in previous years. We still need to be what, church family?
Thankful.
Let us worship acceptably by being thankful. Let us worship acceptably by being thankful. Almost done. Next verse. I keep losing my place. I just keep my finger in here. And he says here in verse 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace or be thankful by which we may worship God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Notice verse 29, for our God is a what? God is a consuming fire. What does fire do?
Burns.
It cleanses, it purifies. You know, Malachi chapter 3, verse 3, the Lord said this. He said, I, the Lord, sit as a refiner and as a purifier. Fire separates. Fire separates the dross from the real, doesn't it? That's the only way to purify fine metals, is to put it through the fire. Do you realize that those who, people, professional purifiers, refiners, do you know when they stop refining something is when they can see their image glistening off back at them from the pure metal? How many of y'all would say with me that I want more of Jesus to reflect back to him?
Amen.
Amen? And that's how we will glorify the Father. By reflecting back his own image to him and saying, Lord, I'm a yielded vessel. This is not fun. This has been a very difficult year. But who of you will say with me humbly and thankfully that you thank God that you still had a job throughout the year?
Amen.
We don't have to count too much to be thankful, do we? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you, God, for being so good, so real to us in our lives. Father, we surrender to you, Lord. Help us to have an attitude and a heart of humility and thanksgiving. Father, for we know that you're working. We don't always discern your work. But Lord, help us to see beyond the pandemic. Help us to hear your voice clearly during these times. And we know, Lord, that you're shaking your church. You're getting rid of stuff that needs to be gotten rid of out of our personal lives. And Lord, we embrace that. Lord, I want that. I want that for my life. And I believe that these wonderful people want that for their lives as well. Father, we want to reflect your image to you. In Jesus' name, amen.